blockers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now we have Jason Wilde, who is returning to us from his time off from his vacation. As he revealed to us a few moments ago, he didn't do a whole heck of a lot during that time. So, Jason, I'm going to move past that. I'm not even going to ask you about your time off. I'm going to ask you something we were discussing while we were vamping, waiting for you in the previous, not you, but the phones, in the previous segment. Do you ever have work dreams?
I'm sorry. I was just pretending that I wasn't here. I was listening to that while Chris was doing a great job trying to get the phones to operate properly. I've had this happen too, where I'm trying to figure out, did this happen or did I dream it? And I thought, I never thought to do it. Like, you were very surgical with figuring it out. All right. This incident happened on the Bristol campus. I haven't been to Bristol. Therefore, this was a dream. I'm going to steal that technique.
Fantastic. But I love here. I mean, I think that people in a professional setting, we have one of our loyal listeners weighing in on the YouTube page saying that I work at a law firm and I have dreamt about drowning in manila folders. Like, you know, there's a metaphor there. There's something that is happening there. And I think it's, again, when you are concerned about or you have anxiety about an upcoming assignment or an upcoming, you know, project that is due, it obviously will infiltrate your dreams. And so, yes, I think we all have kind of fallen victim to that at times. I'm just happy to hear that you, Jason, somebody who has done your job for a very long time at a very high level, also deals with that.
Yeah, I all I know is listening to the commercial break, it sounds like we all need to call betterhelp.com. That, like Adam Schefter told us, so we can work our way through these dreams that we're having about our work anxiety. I actually really enjoyed the conversation that I listened to earlier about Jordan Love and anxiety and expectations, because I was thinking the exact same thing last night when I can't remember if it was Tausch or Jesse sent me like the latest high praise. You know, we had Greg Cosell on talking about how great Jordan Love is while I was gone. We had Dan Orlovsky on talking about how great Jordan Love is. We had Mike Tannenbaum on when I was on a week or two ago, and he was talking about how great Jordan Love is. And then I saw that he said something on NFL Live that other than Patrick Mahomes, the only person on the planet that he would start a team with is Jordan Love. And I found myself wondering, at any point, does this become detrimental? And I had the same thought you did, Jen, that this guy is so calm and even keeled, and he doesn't seem, you know, he's humble, doesn't seem full of himself, doesn't seem to have reached a point where he thinks he has all the answers, although Matt LaFleur did reveal to us during the mini camp that they're working on giving him more responsibility at the line of scrimmage to change the play completely, which he did not do last year. But I started to wonder, even for people that are, I believe you used the phrase, cool as a cucumber, if this starts to become a lot to put on a person and how Jordan Love is going to react to that. Because myself included, I feel like we've all kind of just, you know, written the story of the 2024 season of, yeah, maybe he'll have a glitch or two, but this is the start of him being the next great quarterback in the NFL, and maybe these level of expectations and all the plaudits that he's received during this offseason, maybe that's going to put a strain and more pressure on him than we first were thinking as it started to ramp up.
Jason, how in-depth of a search did the Packers do when trying to find the next president of the organization?
Well, they compiled a 90-person list of candidates. I think you were like 92 or 93.
Damn.
I mean, you've got a lot of history up here. Nice. We'd love to have you. Yeah, that's a great number for Ben Sims. But then, you know, I think the fact that they knew who they wanted, they knew that that Ed Policy was going to be a really good fit. I think they knew he was going to be a finalist regardless. And I think what they did was they, and wisely so, protected themselves of A, hey, maybe there's a candidate that blows us out of the water and looks like the guy that should definitely be the guy. Or B, if they, Ed Policy completely blew the interview, that they had other options. And neither of those things happened. And so the guy that they kind of thought was going to be the guy all along ends up being the guy who is the guy. And I think it made a lot of sense.
Have you spent any time around Ed Policy, Jason? Is there anything that you can share with the fans mm-hmm. about anything, you know, personality-wise about him, anything that you've learned?
Yeah. Now, look, I don't want to compare him to Bob Harlan because that obviously would be unfair to him, and I can't make that comp because, frankly, Bob Harlan is one of my favorite human beings to ever walk the earth. But unlike Mark Murphy, and I said this, it was on Monday when I was theoretically off, but all this news happened. You know, Mark Murphy did, to put it politely and kindly, sometimes say the quiet part out loud, and maybe his public statements were at times a little problematic for the organization. Fair? Is that a fair description?
I think that's a fair description, yes.
His approach? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen with Ed Policy. I do think that he, you know, having been around his dad and seen firsthand how his dad ran organizations as the president of the 49ers and then to a lesser degree of success, the Cleveland Browns, I think he's cut from a different cloth. He does not want to necessarily be viewed as a amateur stand-up comic, which I feel like Mark Murphy is always chasing the laugh, trying to get those one-liners, those zingers in. But I think the most important thing is that, and I have talked to Ed a lot, I don't know if that's because Mark Murphy didn't really like talking to me that I ended up talking to Ed more often, but he's a really sharp guy, but, and this is where the comp to Bob comes in a little bit. I think he's really got good people skills. Like if you talk to anybody in the building, whether they work at the pro shop or in PR or on the janitorial staff or on the football staff, or on the business side, they all really like Ed Policy. I can tell you that this was a very popular choice inside the building among people across the various departments. And so, that doesn't mean he's not going to have some tough decisions at times. It doesn't mean that he's going to not have to fire anybody at any point or anything like that. But I really think that he has a really good demeanor, and it's different than Mark Murphy's in terms of his public persona. But I think it really was the exact right hire, and I wasn't surprised at all that it happened, other than the fact that it happened on Monday when I was technically on vacation.
Jason, we talked about this a little bit when the Ed Policy thing was announced. What do you think will define Mark Murphy's legacy? And recognizing that there is still a season that he will have under his belt when it's all said and done, and, of course, the NFL draft being held in Green Bay next spring, mm-hmm. How would you define his legacy?
Yeah, first of all, getting the draft, right? I mean, that became their goal. Literally, they started working on their proposal or figuring out a way to try and get it when the NFL decided to move the draft around. What was it, Chicago the first 2 years, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, like 2014 or 2013, something like that.
Yep, somewhere in there, right. And so that's obviously the crown jewel of his legacy. You know, he did navigate, although again, sometimes speaking out of turn, even when he was accurate, right? The complicated fella quote for me is up there in the pantheon of Mark Murphy moments. I would just say this, and he obviously did not play on the field, so it's not exactly the same. But if we're going to look at legacies for the presidency, he was the president for the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' time as the starting quarterback. And if we're going to always point out that Rodgers only won one Super Bowl, then that has to be part of the equation for Mark Murphy as well. But overall, to me, the biggest thing when you look at his legacy is, on one side, he hired the exactly right people in Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, given where they're at now with their organization. But on the other side, part of his legacy has to be changing the structure, which, you know, I got a bunch of questions on Monday. If I thought that Ed Policy would decide to shift the structure back to the way it was under Harlan and the way it was with Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson overseeing football instead of the team president. And I said, if you're Matt LaFleur, how on earth are you going to be okay with the new team president saying, hey, I know that you were on the same line of the organizational flowchart as the general manager, but now I'm going to make him your boss. I just don't think you can do that. So maybe someday when they have a new GM and a new head coach, they'll change the structure back. I still don't think it's the right structure, despite the success they've had. But to me, that is a large piece of the Mark Murphy legacy.
Jason, we talked to Adam Wednesday, Gabe?
Yeah, yesterday.
Wednesday. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Gabe.
First name basis, huh? Just you're on a first name basis with Adam Schefter now because he's been doing the show for a little while?
Oh, he's my guy.
Okay, just check.
He called Chewy Mark yesterday, and again, anytime that happens,
that was just awkward. It just throws me off.
I didn't want to. He was flowing, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But yeah, he goes, hey, Mark, you tell me this. I'm like, whoa, who's Mark?
But Jason, he said that Tua and the Dolphins are much farther apart than he believes than Jordan Love and the Packers are, and he could see that getting contentious, did he say, Gabe?
I think that's the general sentiment.
Heated? Yes.
I think that's the general sentiment, yes.
Is there any concern that, let's just say, this doesn't get done before the start of training camp or the start of the season, that it could get contentious?
Well, that's a good question, Mark. By the way, how great is it that we have two Packers Hall of Famers on our team, and both of them are named Mark, not to be confused with Mark Neitzel, who is called Keith, but that neither one of them go by Mark. Is that not strange?
Yeah, and it's weird when you hear them called by the name Mark.
Yes. Oh, every time that happens with Tausch, I'm thrown as well. That's a great question, Mark. And I would say this. I feel like they are in such a great place with their coach, their GM, their young wide receivers and tight ends, their defense that they're really, really excited about, and, of course, the quarterback who played at the level that he did during the second half of last season, that the vibe of this team being around it during the off season for as much as I was allowed to be, I think it's a really, really good vibe. So do you want to wreck that by the contract negotiations becoming contentious and maybe, you know, forcing Jordan Love to make the decision if the deal's not done by July 22nd of, do I really participate in these practices without the contract being done? I would guess, and purely a guess, that they want to get this deal done right around the first practice and with the shareholders meeting that day, that they would love, pardon the pun, to have this deal done then, and it can be like a celebration of their next quarterback getting paid and everything, all the pieces being in place, et cetera, et cetera. I do not expect this to get done in the next week or two. It might get done, you know, in the days leading up to training camp based on a couple conversations I've had. Now, things could suddenly accelerate, obviously, but I still don't expect it to get contentious, but I don't think we can just dismiss that possibility out of hand. Like, this, the elevation of the quarterback market, if I'm Jordan Love's agents, Andrew Kessler and David Mulugeta, I am pushing the envelope on this as hard as possible. And I want to get every penny for my guy. And meanwhile, I still believe the Packers are looking at it going, okay, he's our guy. We know who he is. Remember that quote from a couple weeks ago about how he's been in our building for all these years? We know who he is. That's why we're not afraid to pay him, whatever. They still want to try and scrounge up some extra money from the couch cushions to pay these other wide receivers and tight ends they might have to pay if they decide to pay them. And we know that Brian Gutekunst has suggested that maybe the days of paying all your draft picks are over to second contracts. But they're going to need to pay some of those guys. And so every million that they save on the Love contract can be repurposed to pay those other guys and keep Jordan Love plied with great wide receiver potential. So I still think that this is a challenging scenario, even though everybody wants it to get done and all the things that we've heard. I still am very curious whether they can get it done without there being any contentiousness whatsoever. Because let's be honest, even all these guys that end up with extensions over the years of me covering this team, including probably you, Chewy, there were times in all those negotiations, whether it was a lowball offer to open from the Packers or in the timeline, it taking longer than expected, where there was some contentiousness. And so I'm really curious if they're able to avoid that in this case.
Jason Wilde, you are in top form coming back from your time off, and we certainly appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Did this conversation actually happen, or was it a dream?
This actually happened.
Only you got to go back and retrace your steps, Jason. Only way to figure it out.
Indeed. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
And speaking of that, I just wanted to get to this text message from Dave and Aaron, who said, I had a dream I met Gabe. I've never seen or met him in real life. He was teaching me how to golf, which did not go well. Apparently, I listened to the show too much. Never! All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll be right back after this.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.